And welcome back. In this month's Soundbite segment, produced in partnership with Sauce Magazine, contributor Steve Potter examines the history of soul food and some options for it in St. Louis.
Soul food. I think I know what soul food is, but I've got a few things to learn, so here to help, we turn to Matt Sorrell. And the topic in this month's Sauce Magazine is an article that he wrote. Hi, Matt. Welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Hi. How you doing?
I'm fine. I'm so curious to learn about this today. My experience with soul food, I have to tell you, is really limited. Growing up, it wasn't even on my radar at all. How about you?
Not particularly. I grew up in St. Louis as well, but didn't know much about it, and so I was really pleased recently to be able to kind of delve into it a little bit and kind of uncover some of the local history.
I had a grandfather who was sort of a country boy growing up, and every once in a while, just for old time's sake, he'd make a meal of things that he grew up with, and I remember things like greens and biscuits and gravy. So I want you to clarify for me, is that soul food? Is soul food, is it Southern food, comfort food, or are those inadequate descriptions?
Well, my understanding is, I mean, soul food is a genre of maybe Southern food, or a subgenre, let's say, of Southern food or comfort food. Well, we can't call that now, but, it's specifically, it's an African-American tradition that was produced by slaves who, you know, took their traditions from Africa and then also kind of dealt with the ingredients they had to deal with in America.
Right.
And did the best they could and went from there.
I always think of it, too, as like a lot of it being fried and unhealthy. Is that fair?
Well, I would say, I guess some of it is, but that's not the entire tradition. In fact, a lot of the traditions are very veggie-centric, you know, because you mentioned greens, sweet potatoes. There's a lot of ingredients like that because originally there wasn't a lot of meat to be had. I mean, meat was a luxury, and so a lot of these dishes actually started out what we would consider vegetarian or maybe even vegan, depending on how they're prepared.
In your sauce column this month, you profile a number of soul food restaurants. How many did you find? Do you know how many there are?
I have no idea how many there are, but there's a lot of them. Unfortunately, a lot of them fly under the radar because they're smaller local businesses. They don't get maybe as much press as like the latest, greatest new restaurant that's opening up.
That makes me think. Do soul food restaurants always market themselves that way? I mean, do they necessarily say soul food on the sign out front or not?
Well, I mean, I've seen some that do and some that don't. I think it. Some people, it's a part of the marketing, but there's plenty out there that'll just don't have it in the title at all.
Matt, you profile a number of soul food restaurants this month in Sauce. So let's find out more about two of those right now. Joining us is Lavinia McCoy, co-owner of Gourmet Soul, which is on Del Mar near the City Museum. Also here is Sean Morris, co-owner of Mother's Fish, which has locations on North Grand, on West Florissant, in Delwood, on Natural Bridge, and on Central in Clayton. Hi, welcome to you both.
Hello.
Oh, how are you doing?
Sean, I want to talk to you about Mother's. I think the original one, which isn't there anymore, opened back in the 80s at Spring and Olive.
Yes, sir.
So was there really someone's mother that this was named after, or what's the history?
Yeah, the history, it's my aunt, Evelyn Gordon, her husband, Levert Gordon. They had an establishment. My grandmother, my mom, they all, they came up with the name, I believe is from an old Western movie.
Really?
Mothers, right.
Yeah.
And so that's how the name was actually, derived from that Western movie.
One thing I want to ask you about, I pass the Mother's Fish on North Grand a lot when I'm driving from Grand Center to the McKinley Bridge. I've never gone in there, but I get stopped at the stoplight all the time, and I always notice the graphics, the artwork on the building I find very interesting.
Yes, it is. That's another family member's restaurant, and so, when you go to each one, they're all uniquely designed with, the basic Mother's Fish, I guess you would call it a crest.
The logo.
Logo.
But are they all different in atmosphere? Like the one in North Grand is sort of just almost just a takeout.
Exactly.
But are they all different?
Yes, they are.
Yeah. Lavinia, your place, Gourmet Soul. Gourmet Soul, that sounds kind of fancy. Are there white tablecloths and
black cloth
napkins? Oh, there are. I thought I was being funny.
No, you're correct. Black tablecloth, chair covers, chair bands. As a matter of fact, we cater quite a few in-house parties because the public enjoy the view and the contents of Gourmet Soul. We display artistry from local artists.
Really?
So the name Gourmet Soul, we are a soul food restaurant, but at the same time, we do sell gourmet items.
Well, that's interesting.
Yes.
What would a couple of your gourmet items be?
We sell collard green artichoke dip.
Hmm.
And we sell veggie melts. We sell Cajun boudin balls, shrimp and grits, shrimp poor boys, blackened catfish poor boys. But at the same time, we do smothered pork chops, fried fish, fried chicken, baked chicken, macaroni and cheese, candied yams.
Now you're talking.
And cornbread dressing.
Wow. Sean, what about your menu? A lot different than that?
Pretty much. I guess her menu is a little bit more extensive than ours because we focus mainly on fish. We also carry our non-fish items are chicken wings, shrimp.
Is fish always fried in soul food?
I guess in soul food, you know, because there's a lot of, I heard you mention, you say greens and things like that. Soul food is actually the way that it's prepared because, you know, anyone can have greens or cook greens. Anyone can cook sweet potatoes, but the preparation of it is what make it soul food.
Hmm. Matt, I've admitted already my limited knowledge when it comes to soul food, but the history, and you referred to it a couple of minutes ago, and you talk about it in your column, I find really fascinating. The reason, and you mentioned it, but could you talk about it a little bit more about why the foods that are used in soul food are used? There's a story behind that.
Right. Well, I mean, again, it's my understanding that a lot of the history has to do with the fact that, you know, the people who started the soul food tradition, which actually wasn't called soul food till, I mean, kind of fairly recently. They didn't have that much to work with. And so a lot of the times they would get like things like that would be maybe considered an offcut, like neck bones or oxtail, something like that, where, you know, a lot of people just throw that away. But that's what they had to work with. So they tried to make it as good as they possibly could. So that, I mean, yeah, like I said, from my reading, obviously, you know, I don't have any firsthand knowledge of it, but that's kind of where it came from.
Sean and Lavinia, am I correct to assume maybe you both grew up eating soul food? I guess, Sean, you did because it was a family business.
Exactly.
Right. What about you, Lavinia?
Yes, Lavinia. I did. But I like to think that soul food is food as delicious as the soul can consume. So it is comfort food. It is based on preparation. But it's about good food.
What are some of the old-fashioned things maybe your grandparents ate that the average person might not be familiar with?
Well, the main one is chitterlings, and we call them chitlins, not right. Chitterlings.
Right.
But
I never heard it pronounced the other way.
Which way?
The first one.
Chitlins?
Yeah.
Or chitterlings?
That one.
Yeah, well, that's they're spelled chitterlings, but yeah, it's chitlins. And the average person
What is that exactly?
The intestine, yeah. The pig intestine.
Pig intestine, exactly.
I mean,
it's awful good when it's done well.
Right. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, what does it taste like?
Chicken? No.
Yeah.
No, it just has a distinct taste
yes.
to it. I can't describe what, in comparison, what it would taste like.
Is it prepared as one big piece of food, or is it chopped up into little pieces? And how do you prepare it? Are there different ways to do it?
Well, they're all small pieces. You know, they're small pieces of the, like you said, the pig intestines. And, I mean, you have to clean them really well, really well. And you boil them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Aren't sauces and things pretty important in soul food?
Exactly.
Mean, you know, most things have a sauce of some sort, don't they?
Yes. Hot sauce is one of the main ingredients.
Hot sauce, really?
Hot sauce.
On a lot of things?
On a lot of things.
That's not to say all the soul food dishes have the same flavor, though.
Not at all.
Oh, no, they're distinctly different. Like sweet potatoes. Mm-hmm. I had a couple of people come in, and, you know, most of the times you'll take a sweet potato and you might bake it, and it produces its own sugar. So mm-hmm. sweet potatoes produce their own sugar and their own water. But we elevate it to another level.
Like, I like candied yams. Do you sort of do that?
So we candy them by using brown sugar, cinnamon, nutmeg, a little butter. So most people are not accustomed to that. But
Matt, what was it like? You admitted being a novice, too, at one point mm-hmm. about soul food. Did you like it right away? Was it hard to get used to? What are some of your memories when you first started experimenting?
I liked everything really immediately, but I'm one of those people, like, I like to try everything, and there's not much I won't eat, and I like, and what I was really impressed with is, you know, we were talking about, like, chitlins, and you know, that's one of those things where when it's done well, it tastes, you know, you can't really describe it, but you can describe it when it's done badly. So I've had a few over the years here and there, but I really gravitated toward everything.
Are these ingredients that's used in soul food, are these things I could go buy at the local grocery store?
Absolutely.
Or not?
Yes.
I mean, do they have them out in the case along with the ground beef and ground turkey and things?
Yes. I mean, they're there.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, okay, you mentioned chitlins. What are some of your other favorite items that you like to make at Mother's?
Well, like I said, fish is one of our main, you know, one of our main ingredients.
How many different ways do you make it?
We fry it. Fry it.
Is it just certain kinds of fish?
Yeah, we sell catfish fillets, catfish nuggets, whiting fillets, whole whiting, buffalo. So there's a variety that we offer. Tilapia as well. So,
Lavinia, you mentioned a couple of kind of specialty items that you do.
Yes. We try to do a little healthy alternative to some of the things to give people variety.
Give me an example of some healthy things.
Well, it's not necessarily soul food because my name is Gourmet Soul. So,
right.
Like I said, we do a veggie melt. We do, instead of your typical spinach artichoke dip, we do a collard green artichoke dip. So it's just putting a spin on different items and trying to get that gourmet flair with it at the same time. Presentation is important to us as well when we present our food.
Mm-hmm. Now, some of yours, Sean, are takeout places. So am I assuming maybe presentation isn't number one for you? Or does that matter?
Yes, it is. It matters a lot because we're putting it in, you know, the boxes. And so when you open the box up, you don't want your fish to be upside down or, you know, a mess. Well, we don't do that. We make sure everything is, like you say, when you open it up, it looks nice. Mm-hmm. And it's plentiful. One thing to go with, along with what you were saying as far as healthy items, well, one thing I found out, because we've tried to put baked fish on our menu. Well, when people come to Mother's Fish, it's like a cheat day. So, you know, they're not going to come there and ask for, you know, baked fish. Maybe a couple people.
Right.
But most of the time when people come, they're coming because, like she said, they want some comfort food or fried, something fried.
I think it's really interesting to sort of recognize the differences, the way you both approach soul food. Matt, what about all the other places that you saw? Were there a lot of varieties?
There were some, yeah, quite a bit.
Anything stand out?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of really great catfish for sure. That's like a common denominator in a lot of places. A lot of real good fried chicken, which you kind of would expect. But then we were talking about what I guess would be because there are like some offcuts that you don't always see. You know, some places will have really good neck bones. Some places have, like I said, really good oxtails. I had a lot of really good chitlins too. I really, you know, kind of ran the gamut. So, but not every place has everything. There might be at least the places that I tried. And I didn't try, you know, even, you know, nearly all I could.
What are a couple of the others that just come to mind really quickly that you were impressed with?
Really impressed with the good greens that are out there, the good collard greens. So, there were some that were cooked with a lot of pork, and then there were some that weren't. And you know, so like, you know, like Sean was saying earlier, like the greens, you know. Everybody does them differently.
What were a couple of the other restaurants, though, that come to mind that you thought were really good?
There was a place that had really good – another good fish place like Mother's. It was called H&M. It's over on Chippewa. Really liked them a lot. Jaden's Diner. They had some really, really good stuff as well. That's more of a buffet style over there.
Well, let me ask you, too. Is it like a club? All you soul food people, do you go around and – are y'all friends? Do you go to everybody else's restaurant? How does that work?
Well, it's funny that he mentioned H&M. That's my brother and sister-in-law.
Didn't even know.
That's my brother and my sister-in-law.
And they do some good stuff, I tell you.
Yes, they do. They're great. Herman and Marilyn.
But is it like a small world where y'all kind of know one another?
I don't personally know him, but I do consider myself a foodie. So, yes, I do frequent soul food restaurants.
You mentioned a couple of sides, and you have some specialty ones. What are the common sides that you would get with soul food?
With fish is spaghetti and coleslaw. That's one of the biggest when they're ordering
spaghetti
fried
in
fish.
What form?
Spaghetti, no meat. We don't put any meat in our spaghetti, but spaghetti and coleslaw.
You mean with spaghetti with the marinara sauce?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
right.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if your parents or grandparents, if you didn't grow up with parents or grandparents that made soul food, how do you learn about it? Are there soul food cookbooks? Can you take a soul food class? Do you know about any of that?
I'm pretty sure there is, but we're cooking strictly out of tradition. Mm-hmm. You know, what we had in the cupboard and what we learned from our families. We are cooking strictly out of tradition. And typically, that's how soul food is cooked. It's passed down from generation to generation to generation.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely a culture thing.
What is the favorite dish that you make at your restaurants?
I'm going to have to say two. And there's the catfish fillet and there's the whiting fillets.
Lavinia?
Shrimp and grits. Get a lot of people calling for shrimp and grits.
Do you have a lot of people? I imagine a lot of people come in, know what they're talking about, but do you have newbies come in like me that maybe ask you a million questions?
Mm-hmm. All the time, especially in Clayton.
I'm glad you brought that up because that's got to be an unusual restaurant for downtown Clayton, a soul food restaurant. So
yes.
I imagine that'd be an interesting place to work.
Yes.
Any
yes,
stories?
Yes. Well, no big stories. I mean, everybody there, they're really receptive and supportive, so yeah, it's been good.
Why do you think it's popular, Matt? And do you think it's growing in popularity?
Well, I think it is. I think it's grown in popularity in a good way and a bad way, because I think the people who are interested in the really traditional soul food are getting into it, and that's great. But then it's also been kind of taken over by some people and sort of – there's a lot of stuff out there that is marketed as soul food that I would probably I personally wouldn't consider – So, you know, I mean, I think it's a double-edged sword. I mean, it's great that it's getting more popular, and it's great that people are still going to, like, Gourmet Soul and Mothers, but it's been appropriated by some folks.
A quick question as we wrap things up. Sean, if you were to eat soul food at anywhere that's not involved with your family, do you have a favorite place?
Favorite place? No, I wouldn't say no. There are several other places, though. Tasty Treats. It's one right down the street from here.
Mm-hmm.
Tasty Treats. I've tried theirs, and I'm sure I'm going to definitely try Gourmet Soul now that I know she's there.
Well, Lavinia, what about you when you're not eating your own stuff? Do you have a favorite soul food restaurant?
You know, I have to give homage to Sweetie Pies because I will say this. I think the spotlight was put on soul food by way of Sweetie Pies and the Oprah Touch.
Right.
And so I appreciate everything that they've brought to the table, Miss Robbie, her team. So I do frequent Sweetie Pies.
And not a bad reality show, too.
Not at all.
Hey, listen, soul food to me, obviously, involves tradition, right? We talked about that. So are there ever new trends in soul food, or is it always consistent?
I think if you're talking trends, it might just be a different way of preparing it. Like I said, instead of using spinach in a dip, you might use collard greens. Instead of just cooking off your sweet potatoes, you might make a sweet potato pudding with a pecan brown sugar crust. I think it's all about preparation.
Is that the same for you, Sean, or not?
Yeah, pretty much. I don't think there's anything new or a new trend. I think you can try to. Soul food is soul food.
Why do you think these two were worth of recognition? You decided to bring them here today.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Well, I think they're really two very different ways to approach soul food. So I think that's really interesting. But it's like we were just talking about. I mean, it's, you know, even though they might be different in the way they go about it. I mean, the traditions their food comes from and I guess just the heart and soul they put into it are the same.
So one final question for Sean and Lavinia. What's your guilty pleasure when you're not eating soul food and you want to go pig out somewhere and have something totally different? What do you like to eat?
Canes. If it's not soul food, canes. Chicken.
The chicken fingers?
Chicken fingers.
Oh,
canes,
uh-huh.
Chicken fingers.
And you?
Roo Chris.
Well, thank you all. You've given me a lot of new dining options for me to think about. Thank you so much for sharing today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much.
That's contributor Steve Potter talking with Matt Sorrell of Sauce Magazine about a feature he wrote in this month's magazine about soul food in St. Louis. Joining him were the proprietors of two soul food restaurants, Sean Morris of Mother's Fish and Lavinia McCoy of Gourmet Soul. Archived versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis On the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.